Hi, this is Dr. Lisa from Dr. Lisa's Soul Sensei podcast. And today we're talking about wrapping up my thyroid series. And we will get back to it. Don't think we won't, because I will be sharing some of the patient stories that we do and also my own story as we move forward and work with people more and more and more. So what I wanted to talk about today was we've been talking about the thyroid gland, what it is and what the symptoms were of hypothyroidism and hyperthyroidism. And we also talked about the testing. And the testing, if you haven't, I'm not going to get into it here, but you can go back to the other podcast. We talked about different tests. And the reason why I thought this was so important, because it is through some of this testing that we'll find possibly where the pathways that make thyroid hormone and get the thyroid hormone to the cell would be broken. So that's really what my goal is why is this organ not functioning properly? It's actually not a thyroid problem, believe it or not. It's many other factors. So it's the poor thyroid gland that gets destroyed in the end and gets suffers from this problem. So we looked at the thyroid hormone testing. So please look at that. And then we talked about iodine and the iodine testing. So I'm not going to get into that here. And I have mentioned that iodine is a really crucial player in this. But the testing is really important with iodine too, because you want to see if your body is absorbing the iodine that you have in your body, if you have enough. So that's really an easy test. It's a urine test. And that's something that is just really easy to figure out. And the other thing is we talked about the micronutrient testing, which was selenium and zinc and the B2 and the B3. Those were the main nutrients that needed to metabolize and make thyroid hormones, the T4, the T3 specifically. And you may not be making thyroid hormones because of the fact that you don't have selenium, or you might not have B2 and B3. So it could be as simple as that, right? You might not be making thyroid hormone because you lack iodine, like that was my case. So the problem of why your body's not making the thyroid hormone or making too much of it, you want to get into the pathways and the players, and you want to test all those and make sure that you aren't deficient in those. If you are deficient in those, you want to fix it. Sometimes it's reversed. Sometimes I have somebody that's getting these normal thyroid tests and they're feeling horrible, and I do the testing and then I find a pattern. I'll see selenium low. I'll see B2 and B3 in the tank. I'll see iodine in the tank. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I don't know how your thyroid would be working without these elements, because they're crucial. And then we also talked about a test that was fluoride, bromide, and chloride, which typically the one test I love that we have is you get iodine, fluoride, and bromide together. Chloride it's important, and then we do have one that you can do all four, but there is one that just does the three, and that's just because bromide is the most dangerous one. I think it's the most closest to iodine, or bromide and fluoride love to just bind to the iodine receptor so iodine can't. So again, you could be getting iodine in your diet, but it's not binding to the receptor because you have too much bromide or too much fluoride. And that's what I wanted to bring up today before I mention the final testing and wrapping this up for you, is that bromide and fluoride are important to understand that we tend to get those in our diet quite easily without trying. And if you have to think of this story, if iodine and selenium and zinc and B2 and B3 are crucial for the thyroid to do its job 100% correctly, right? Make the thyroid hormone, and actually the liver is going to be what combines the thyroid hormone with the iodine, and for this whole story to happen, and then for T4 to get converted to T3, and for T3 to get inside a cell, you need all these players, correct? Let's say you're working on that, but you have more bromide and fluoride in your system than iodine, or if you have a leaky gut, right? We talked about that, and your body's just not absorbing selenium and zinc or iodine. Or let's say for some reason your body chose to really not process iodine correctly, and you have just so much more fluoride and bromide in your intake. Those receptors that need iodine aren't going to work properly, and it just throws the whole story off. It doesn't allow the body to do the pathways it needs to do. See, the body can heal itself, but if there's something broken, our job, or my job, is to find out why you're not feeling well and what's broken, where is it? And if I can help fix that one broken thing or those couple broken things. The body has that divine power body to heal itself. It really does. And that's what we have to help. It's not us healing you. The body heals itself. But if you don't figure out where it's broken, it's the body's just kind of go along the way it's going along, and eventually there's destruction of cells, cell death. So bromide and fluoride, I've talked about before, but I want you to understand that you can test to see if those levels are super high. There's also other heavy metal testings too, because if you have other metals that are high, this all gets, you know, this isn't healthy. But bromide comes in a lot of those the bad carbs. They're brominated. So they used to use iodine in the baking. And I talked about this in one of the podcasts. And they used to, I think it was before 1960, because I remember talking to you guys and I was looking for the date. They used to use iodine in the bread and in the baking goods, in the bakery products. So if you were eating all the breads and the bagels and the pastas and all that stuff, they used iodine. So in those times, iodine was more abundant in our food choices. But then they replaced it with bromide, which is super competitive with iodine, and it likes the iodine receptors. It's jealous, right? It just gets in there and goes, I'm gonna bind to it. And then iodine can't bind, right? So it's just like only one of them can fit to the receptor. The receptor only accepts one. And if bromide gets there first, iodine can't. It's just going to float around your body and you're going to excrete it. You're not going to use it. So that could be a problem as well. So if your diet's high in things that have bromide in it, that's an issue. And fluoride as well. Where fluoride is the number one place is in water. And I'm a big, 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 big component, and we're going to have some podcasts, and I do have blog posts on this. And if you work with me, you know it, I'm a big proponent of making sure that you test your water and you're drinking water in your house, and if you have problems with it, to get a filter. You probably should get a filter anyway, because you do not want fluoride or bromide. And again, chloride can be one of those as well, but these are the two most nasty ones. So I wanted to bring that up and just verify and clarify on that stuff. The other one that you want to do is, and you can do this every morning yourself, it's called the basal temperature test. And what you want to do, so if your thyroid, we talked about this, if you're not feeling well, right? We talked about thyroid symptoms. Chronic fatigue, just fatigue, just extreme fatigue is one of them. And I had this, and it's horrible. And a lot of it, when you have it, I talked about this also, is that, when you have this fatigue for women, it's usually the time you're at, right? So I remember post-pregnancy is the very beginning of thyroid problems. It's the most common time where it starts, and it gets misread or misdiagnosed. And then it's common that it's really beginning right after pregnancies. And then what happens is like 12 to 15 years later, you'll be possibly full-blown Hashimoto's is what they say. So it's very common for a thyroid to get wonky after a pregnancy. But you're really tired after you have a baby. So a lot of this fatigue gets written off as, I just had a baby. And then you might have a second baby, right? And then you're raising kids and you're running around and you're just like running around with your head chopped off. So yes, you're exhausted, right? So tiredness and this exhaustion that we go through is just kind of easily overlooked. And then believe me, when you get to perimenopause and menopause, this exhaustion kicks in and it's overlooked again. All my symptoms when I went to doctors, because I try to go to a doctor too, so I have somebody overlooking me, it was always written off as, you know, perimenopause. The other thing is like losing your hair or your hair thinning. That's another thing with perimenopause. If your hair is thinning, ladies, and you're losing your hair, that was me. And then when I started fixing my thyroid, I don't have these symptoms anymore. I'm not tired. I'm focused. I don't have brain fog. My hair is fine. All these things I was experiencing was getting, for me at the stage of life I'm at, brushed off as perimenopause and menopause. And if you look back, I probably had a thyroid problem for quite some time, at least 15 years, maybe even 20. And it's probably post-pregnancy, right? Maybe it's where it started, who knows? But my point to you is that the symptoms that you're having are key. So when a patient comes in, the first thing that we want to pay attention to is the symptoms, how you're feeling, what you're telling me. So my goal is to listen to you, Not me talk and me tell you, me to listen to what you're telling me. And most women are men too, but most women are like, I'm just so tired. And it's, I hear you, because you say it to other people like, yeah, you're tired. You have three kids, you know, you run a business, or you have two kids, or you have twins, you know, of course you're tired. Everyone's tired. A mom's always tired. No, I hear you. The tired is like, you don't even know how you're getting, you don't know how you're walking down the hall. You don't even know how you're getting out of the house. The hair loss, the thinning of the hair, not normal. Don't let them tell you it's normal. It's not normal. The outer third of your eyebrows, I was just taught, oh yeah, that just goes away. You just pluck them. Or it's because of plucking. Not true, not correct. It's part of a thyroid problem. Also, the inability to lose weight and that little pouchy thing you get in your stomach. Yeah, hormone changes. We're not even getting into the podcast of how hormones can play a part into thyroid, because I will have podcasts on hormones, but hormones can play a part with thyroid problems, obviously, because think about it, post-pregnancy, your hormones are crazy. So estrogen, progesterone can all play a part. Same with cortisol, DHEA, they all can play a part with the thyroid. So hormones are definitely a part, but I don't want to get into this in this podcast with hormones. But don't let them brush it off. You know, the outer third of your eyebrows, if they're coming off or they're thinning, it's not plucking. It could be thyroid, right? So these are things about hypothyroidism. And again, we talked about hyper when your body is in overdrive and you can't sit still. And you're one of those persons that can't just sit and like read a book or watch a movie or sit on the beach. You just can't relax. That's a sign of a problem. That's another problem. It's on the other end of the spectrum. So there's the sluggish person who's always tired and he really can't seem to focus and they have brain fog and they really can't just get things done. And then there's the person who can't sit still and is overdriven and can't seem to focus and pay attention and, you know, get things done. So it's two extremes, and hormones play a big role of that, but thyroid is in that. It is a hormone. We're talking hormones. So you've got too much testosterone in the body and you can't sit still, it's a problem. It's going to eventually burn out something. If you have too much estrogen, it's going to show itself. If you don't have enough, it's going to show itself. Too much thyroid, not enough thyroid, okay? So these things are problems, and this is what we're here for. This is what functional medicine does. So the first thing you want to look at is the signs and symptoms. That's why I just brought them all up. And hypothyroidism is when you don't have enough thyroid. So think low, hypo, slow, and hyper, think hyper. So that's when you have too much, all right? And again, this can happen with estrogen, progesterone, all that stuff as well. The next thing you want to do is what we call basal body temperature, right? So the thyroid's main function, right, is to regulate the metabolism of every single cell in the body. And that's why if you can't lose weight, you want to look here, because this is the regulator of the energy of your cells' ability to burn energy and metabolize, right? And with adequate amounts, if you're getting enough produced, the machinery inside all the billions of cells in the body, they're going to run at its normal pace. So think of your cells as a machine, and they're all going to chug along at its normal pace, and you're going to burn calories at a normal pace. If you're overeating and eating the wrong foods, that's a whole nother story. But if you're eating healthy and you're working out and you're not losing weight and you're gaining weight, you want to think, why are your cells' machinery not working properly? One of the byproduct of this machinery is actually heat. And so the production of heat keeps the body warm on the cold days, right? And so the thyroid's other job is kind of controls the temperature of your body, the heat of your bottom, the metabolism on your body. Now, if you have hypothyroid, meaning that the thyroid isn't working, it's sluggish, you have low thyroid hormone, the cells are actually running the machine, the energy, at a slower pace. That's why you feel sluggish. You might be a slower person. That's how I am. Hypothyroid individuals will often complain of feeling cold much of the time. This is me my whole life, having cold hands and cold feet. Nobody ever, ever addressed this. All the time I'm freezing. You could ask my family. I've always been like this. I've always been cold. I don't like the winter. I can't stand when it comes because it actually physically hurts me. Don't like it. Don't like the snow. Don't like any of it. And never was anyone told me, you know, growing up and getting, you know, to be a younger adult, that this could be a thyroid issue. And it's just one of those things. So maintaining a steady body temperature is one of the most crucial functions of the thyroid gland. Sometimes also it could be that they can't, you might not be able to tolerate heat too on the other end. Like if you're at a really hot place, that's not me, but that could be another thing. So the you want to maintain a steady body temperature, and you can actually test your basal body temperature in the morning, and you can see if your body temperature falls in the normal range. It should be about 97.8 to 98.2. I've always kind of blown that off because I never fit that. And I was like, well, that's not me. And I learned somewhere along the line that not everybody has the same body temperature. And that could be true. But if you're having symptoms, right, of fatigue and tiredness and, you know, thinning of the hair and all that stuff, which I didn't have younger, but I definitely started to have these problems post-pregnancy. You want to pay attention to your body temperature and your body's ability to maintain the metabolic energy of the cell. So you want to be at 97.8 to 98.2 degrees Fahrenheit. And so this is important temperature of your body. So the enzymes, the vitamins, the minerals, these pathways, these chemical reactions occur properly. This is crucial, and I never really realized this until we got into chiropractic school and really dove into nutrition and then functional medicine in the last 5 or 6 years really hit this one home for me, is enzymes actually are very sensitive. And every pathway that we talk about with the thyroid requires enzymes. And enzymes, actually, every pathway of the body pretty much requires enzymes. And they're very, very sensitive to temperature. So that's really crucial. They need that body temperature to be at that normal range of 97.8 and 98.2 to optimize and function the best it can, right? So that's really, really important. If the temperature gets too high or too low, it significantly decreases the ability of vitamins and minerals and enzymes to work properly. So that's key there, right? So how do you measure this metabolic activity, right? Well, we really have a hard time doing that because we can't measure things inside the cell that accurately. And we know that we can't figure out T3 inside the cell yet, as I've mentioned in the previous. So this is the best thing that we have right now. And here's the steps of how to measure the basal body temperature. So the first step is to place a thermometer at your bedside. Or if available, you could use a digital basal thermometer. So you can use a regular thermometer, old-fashioned thermometer, or you could use the digital basal. And they sell those on Amazon. They sell those, I believe in like the pharmacy stores. So upon waking up, step two, upon waking up, place the thermometer snugly in your armpit for a period of 10 minutes and record your temperature for 5 days in a row. If you do not have an respiratory infection or some kind of cold, you actually can use it under your tongue. But if you have a sinus or a cold or anything like that, you don't really want to because you're going to bring heat to that area. The key here is you must not get out of bed before checking your temperature or you will alter the reading. So you basically want to just take your temperature right when you wake up. So have it near your bed, wake up, don't really move much, just as you wake up, measure your temperature. Do that 5 days in a row. Now, here's a key side note. Women who are menstruating, the temperature should be taken started on the second day of menstruation. This is the best time in a woman's menstrual cycle to get an accurate basal temperature. So women who are having a period, who still have their period, who still get a period, that's what that means. You're still getting one, okay? You want to take it on the second day of your period. If you are postmenopausal, it makes no difference when your temperature is taken. If you get a period like me once every 5 months, I would go with postmenopausal because you don't know when it's coming and it's probably going to be really hard to even figure out. And then you would just take it whenever you want. It doesn't matter. Don't have your period, even though that could be debatable on the or the menopause and the I'm going to go there. Okay, next step. So if your thyroid functions normal, right, your temperature would range between that 97.8 and 98.2. A temperature below this might indicate that you're in a hypothyroid state. So this isn't black and white, just like the lab tests aren't black and white. And we need to look at the patient as a whole. So if you're coming to me with the symptoms are actually what I'm looking at the most. And then this is something that you could say, look, I've done this 5-6 times in a row, and I just have a really low body temperature, you know, or a really high body temperature if that's the case. And that's how you can do that. So we have the physical exam of looking at you, swelling under the eyes, poor eyebrow growth, your hair falling out, your face blowing up. So my face, you can see my face in some of my pictures. It's very round, right? And I do have a round face, but in some pictures I look like I have chipmunks. Like it doesn't look right. My face has changed in some of the pictures. My neck too, if you want to look at the neck. You can see my neck is thin today, much, much thinner, but there was a period, if you can look at some of my pictures, I'm going to actually do a blog post on my story, and I'm going to put these pictures up. I have a thick neck, almost like a little tire where the thyroid was, and I was gaining weight too. So a lot of that, when you're gaining weight, you just, you know, you get a chunky face when you gain weight. You get, you know, you get a little chunky neck. That's where it kind of goes too. So, as you get older too, the skin underneath your chin can sag a little bit too, so you might just write it off as that. But these are things you want to look at. You want to look at, are you gaining a little weight? Are you gaining weight and not able to lose weight no matter what you do, right? Are you having swelling under the eyes? Are you having your hair falling out? Are you having that round face, that swollen look is what I'm talking about? The tire around the neck, the exhaustion, right? The exhaustion is another one. And are there any other symptoms that could be going? Hypothyroidism also has to do with, infertility is another thing. There's a relationship between infertility and hypothyroidism that goes undiagnosed quite often. Imagine that. Imagine if you're struggling to get pregnant and we just fix this little thyroid problem and you're all good to go, right? So that actually is really interesting too. So I think we hit that 20-minute mark, so we can stop here. And I want you to know that I'm going to share my story. We're going to end the series here, but I'm going to end the story. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do one more podcast because I want to wrap up my story and a little bit of just honing in on a focus for all you guys. It'll be a real quick one on the next one. And we'll do that. We'll wrap it all up and then move on to some other topics. Thank you.